Tarragona Air Force Base. Once he and Aditi reached the roof, with Castiglione and a half dozen security guards around them, Jordan saw that the hotel had a helipad up there, complete with a small control booth and still more security people standing around, gripping deadly-looking black guns, looking on guard, steely-eyed. A jump jet sat on the pad, its swept back wings drooping slightly. The nozzles of its jet engines swiveled downward for vertical flight. The plane seemed sparkling new, the blue and white insignia of the World Council emblazoned on its silvery side and tail. Castiglione extended his hand and helped Aditi up the metal ladder and into the jump jet. He followed her inside, between her and Jordan. The passenger compartment of the plane was small but plushly comfortable, with cushioned couches on either end of it. Jordan and Aditi sat side by side on one couch, Castiglione facing them. Through the glassed partition behind his handsomely smiling face, Jordan could see the two helmeted pilots. Once the three passengers clicked their safety harnesses on, the machine hauled vertically off the roof, pirouetted once in midair, then headed out toward the glittering sea. Jordan could see the statue of Christopher Columbus at harborside, pointing vaguely in the direction of America. Plenty of ships at the piers, mostly cruise liners, with freighters and container ships moored in the deeper water. Farther out was the seawall built to protect the city from the sea level rise caused by the first wave of greenhouse warming. It extended out to the edges of the city, like the wall of a medieval castle, Jordan thought. Construction cranes and barges dotted its length, building it higher, stronger, against the rising sea caused by the new meltdowns of the Greenland and Antarctic ice caps. It was smoothly quiet inside the jump jet. Good acoustical insulation, Jordan thought. Leaning toward Castiglione, he asked, "Where are we going?" "To a safe place," the man answered, his eyes on Aditi. Jordan felt uneasy. He didn't quite trust this smiling, good-looking stranger who seemed focused on his wife. He knew that Halleck had detailed security people to shield him and Aditi from the news media's unwanted attention, but a whole team of guards, including medics and a jump jet? Be grateful they were there, he told himself, otherwise you and Aditi would be dead. Aditi asked, "Where is this safe place?" Castiglione's smile widened as he laid a single slender finger across his lips. The jump jet flew down the Catalan coastline for almost half an hour, then landed at a smallish airfield. As they approached the ground, Jordan could not see any commercial planes, only military jets, in blotches of brown camouflage paint, and further off what looked like rocket planes, sleek and bright in the Mediterranean sun. "This is the Tarragona Air Force Base," Castiglione said. "Very safe, very secure. You will stay here for the time being." "And how long will that be?" Jordan asked. Castiglione shrugged elaborately. "Until we have dug out all the fanatics who want you dead." Aditi spoke up.
"That could be quite a while, I suppose."
"Yes, quite a long while. But you'll be very comfortable here, you'll see. The military don't live like Spartans, you know. They like their creature comforts, just as you and I do." "Once we're on the ground," Jordan said, "I'd like to contact Mitchell Thornberry and let him know what's happened." Castiglione frowned. "I'm afraid that communications beyond the perimeter of the base will be impossible. We don't want anyone to know where you are." Jordan didn't feel the slightest surprise, but he said, "Thornberry will be worried if we simply disappear. He and Dr. Longyear, we will contact them and let them know you are under protective custody." "Can I talk with Ms. Halleck at least?" "At least?" Castiglione laughed. "The head of the World Council, and you say, at least?" Jordan was finding it easy to dislike the man. "At least," he repeated. Nodding, Castiglione said, "Yes, of course you will be able to speak with her. She is very concerned about your safety." "I'm sure," said Jordan. Jordan had to admit that their accommodations were indeed quite comfortable. Not as posh as the hotel, but the quarters Castiglione showed them on the top floor of a barracks-like cinder-block building included a king-sized bedroom, a small but neat sitting room, kitchen, and modern lavatory. "Your home away from home," Castiglione said expansively. "Very nice," Jordan replied, thinly. A single robot, painted army brown, carried a double armful of bags and boxes into the kitchen. "Stocking your refrigerator," Castiglione explained. "Your clothes and things from the hotel will be arriving soon." Jordan nodded complacently and waited for Castiglione and the robot to leave. Once the door shut behind them, he turned to Aditi. "It's been quite a day." She was looking doubtfully up at the ceiling beams. The rooms looked immaculately clean to Jordan, but he wondered if there were microphones or pin-sized cameras hidden here and there. As if she understood his anxiety, Aditi said, "I've blocked the bugs." Jordan felt his brows hike upward. "You have?" Tapping her left temple, Aditi smiled impishly.
"They won't be able to spy on us."
"Well," he said, sliding his arms around her waist, "that's something, I suppose."